area there also with some of the journalists coming in that will come in, photograph, you know, one evening and go off and write as if they were experts in the area. One writer went in saying, yes, I think you have the truth. You know, I'm thinking about becoming a member of this after a couple meetings, you know, playing games with their minds in that way, which really makes it difficult for others and you know, extremely unethical. Because these people are, as I said before, quite normal individuals, extremely friendly, extremely open. You know, you could trust them with anything that you had. I mean, there's no, you know, it's just, you see them abused in that way.
The BBC crew that I worked with were men who had been all over the world, who had you know, had filmed inside the Vatican, who'd been everywhere, and this was the one group that they really remembered. Even 6 months later, when I saw them, they asked me about those people, and they all remarked that they were the most sincere and hospitable people that they thought they'd ever met. And I thought that was quite a testimony to them.
You get into several problems when you're doing a study like this. One is that you have to deal with the fact, if someone is bitten or someone drinks a poison, what is your role going to be? You know, are you going to try to persuade them to go to the hospital or, you know, to take care of it or not? Another problem that I ran into personally was at the funeral where this minister had died, and the widow wanted me and the family, his family wanted me to photograph the funeral, the wake, and the funeral service. And you experience cultural shock, you know, when you step into something like that. And I try to stay off to the side and you know, not interfere with any of the activities, which I, you know, would do with all the services. It's not that you, you know, get out and shove people back. You work around in behind rather than trying to interfere with the spirit of what is going on, because you know, they have talked about, especially at the open door meetings, for a journalist or, you know, putting their hands, saying, "Well, turn around, let me get a photograph of you doing this," and they're saying, you know, here we are in the spirit, and someone says, "Well, turn around, smile for the camera." It's, you know, people will do things in this church service, outsiders, that they would not think of doing, you know, otherwise.
Have there been any legal battles?
Yeah.
Over the prohibition, do they contest it, or do they just more or less act outside the law?
In Newport, Tennessee, there were two deaths. And it was from the strychnine, if I remember correctly. And they brought the ministers to trial. Liston Pack, I guess, was involved with that, and went to jail for a while. Appealed it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court refused to hear it, so let the lower court ruling stand. So there have been some court cases generally.
But nobody like the ACLU or anybody's ever been involved?
Yeah, in Tennessee they were. A tremendous welfare support system that they have with the minister. When he went to jail, all the churches in the other areas were sending money down for, you know, the bail and stuff like this. If in the churches I studied, if the member were bitten and could not work, then they provided food and money to pay the bills. So, and if someone came from the rural areas into the urban areas, then they would, you know, put them up in the house and find them jobs. So it's quite a network. Maybe you would like to speak to
Well, I think Liston Pack is really interested in publicity. he sends out press releases anytime they're going to handle a snake, and I just really disapprove of what happens in that church. I was up there and going to, well, I can either draw or photograph or audio tape or do nothing, you know, depending on what they're comfortable with. And the deacons were funny because, I mean, they wanted me to come in, and yet this this minister didn't want me to do anything and seemed very unwelcoming. And following the biblical injunction, as I told them, fine, I'm shaking the dust off my feet. Well, you start quoting the Bible like that, and all of a sudden, all the deacons realized what I was saying. I said, I don't go where I'm not welcome. Goodbye. You know, I don't have to draw, I don't have to photograph, but if I'm not welcome, I will not stay. Well, all of a sudden, all the deacons are walking out, too. I mean, he wanted to control anything that happened to an incredible extent. I checked up on the legality in all these different states, and actually, the ones in West Virginia say it's the only state where it's legal, and that's not entirely true. It's quite varied. I think it's Georgia where you pay a $5 fee per year and get a license. And in Tennessee, it's that you can't harm children, and there's some deal with public health. And generally, if you don't make a fuss, if you don't call in the press, if someone dies, the coroner will mark it suicide and just let it go at that. No one is really going to bother anybody for practicing these things. In my opinion, it's spreading. It's out to California. It's in the White Mountains. I did a map in one of these catalogs of 85 churches that I've worked with, and I'm sure that that's just a fraction of them. But I started doing a map of it, and it's the lower Appalachians, but it is going out, and I think it's going all over the country.
Has the separation of church and state come up in any of these trials? And if so, how has it been handled?
But there aren't many trials.
No.
I mean, unless you have someone like Liston Peck, who seems to, for some reason, really want publicity, there's not much of an issue made of it. No one really wants to. And you know the state motto here, Monterey Semper Libre, mountain men are always free. And everyone believes that real strongly. No one wants to interfere with anyone else's religion to an extraordinary extent. Unless you really call up the New York Times and make a fuss, you're not going to have a lot of problems. I don't think they have problems if they just practice quietly.
Well, that's generally what has been done. It is usually when the press finds out, oh, here they are in Columbus, and they do a story, then the police come down to all the services for a month or so. But what you end up with is, you know, the police time is used for other things more important to them than getting some people that are practicing.
Don't you think there's a lot more tolerance now since people are becoming more aware, more interested in exploring altered states of consciousness in many religions and of broadening one's experience, that people might be more tolerant of this kind of activity?
I think there is. I think that frequently the intolerance comes from other churches in the area that with whom they're competing, you know, in one way, or memberships, and so membership, so that becomes an issue.
I heard of a lot of fear expressed in among the Visoko church members that fear about these issues we're talking about, fear that there was going to be new legislative action taken here, fear of other forces in the community that might work against them, fear of having their church burned down.
Do you know Robert Holliday? Because he was a state legislator in West Virginia. He was also an editor and a writer of one of the papers, sort of northwest of Charleston, out the river there. He's the one who got it through the state legislature, and it's a very strong statement of religious freedom in this state.
He has a book out.
He wrote one privately.
Yeah.
Interesting guy. You might want to have him talk at some point.
Yeah.
He went to a lot of trouble interviewing him, I thought.
Nonetheless, the church members do feel it. Have fears of these things.
I'm confused about the difference between the snake handling churches and the word that you used before, Pentecostal churches. That does not, one does not have anything to do with the other, or could.
The same tradition, perhaps a minister back there would like to speak to that.
Now what was that again?
When you said, you said you were Pentecostal.
I'm Pentecostal holiness all the way.
Okay.
I go to Bible school in Export, PA, and I believe Pentecost. Ain't got a date Bible who's Pentecostal.
Well, the churches that do this, what do they call themselves? How do they distinguish themselves? Or
okay.
Is your church do so?
Okay, I am totally 100% against snake handling because I believe it's an error in the Word of God. It's misinterpreting the Word of God. It's tempting God. I'm sorry if I'm getting a little preachy now. I didn't mean to get here. I want to avoid getting preachy now. But see, I believe it's misrepresenting the Word of God and the power of Pentecost. I believe in the other things. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, like tongues. I talk in tongues. Just Saturday night, I was up at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting. The Lord fell on me, and I spoke in tongues, and I even danced a little. I've danced in the Spirit. I've ran in the Spirit. I've shouted. I've done a lot of other things. But I don't believe in snake hand because in the book of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted by the devil to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. I believe that when Jesus was tempted, Satan used some scriptures to get him to do it. And Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In Acts 28, it gives the example of how snake hand is to be used. Is where if you're out here preaching the gospel and a snake grabs you by the hand, you can claim that scripture. I believe it then. Only if it's accidental. And now, I don't want to say I hate snake handlers. Don't get me wrong. I love them, and I care about them. That's why I do occasionally may say something against it. And I just came here to get some information to help those people. I love them, and I care for them.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've ever been to Serpent Healing Church that was not Pentecostal.
Oh, yeah, they are Pentecostal.
As far as I can tell, they all start with it. Now, they may be Jesus' name only. I mean, there's a lot of disagreement on other
things.
I know.
I know they're Pentecostal, but I believe that there's a real Pentecost and a false Pentecost. And I don't want to get into that either because it's going to get complication. But this right here is this is how I tell whether it's a truth or error.
Well, they do the same thing, though.
I know they use the Bible, but they misinterpret some scriptures.
Well,
and I know
they
say the same thing about me.
The point, the answer to your question, you know, they are Pentecostal. Generally, they go by different names. Jesus Only, Church of All Nations, Burning Bush Tabernacle. It's, you know. But the churches in the Logan area and Columbus and Cleveland had the name Jesus Only in some way. You know.
Also, I want to make it.
Excuse me.
Well, you mentioned you had a take on funerals, and then you also mentioned a little bit about the funeral of this one minister. What are some of the aspects of a funeral within this church, and is there a difference between some of this?
The service is fairly typical to, the funeral is typical of any other
mm-hmm.
service. They have the body up there, open casket. They handle the serpents in front of the casket. The widow of the person who died handled the serpents that afternoon. So it'll be fairly typical of any other. They would say that, you know, in one sense it's a sad occasion, but on the other hand it's a joyous occasion because that individual is now in heaven, supposedly.
Now, is snake handling an aspect of the funeral of someone who is, let's say, died of natural causes or something like that? Is it?
If a person dies of natural causes and is a member of the church and once has expressed,
mm-hmm.
you know, concern that they wanted this at their funeral, they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tapes of, audio tapes of a service like that, where a person died of a heart attack. You know, but one of the signs, and the woman was saying, you know, the spirit came upon her and she handled the snakes and drank the poison, did the signs, you know, at her husband's funeral, which they do. You have the other aspect too. Others will, you know, have a fairly routine.
Does it last as long as the other services?
No, I shouldn't. The ones I attended did not last as long. They last much longer than a normal 15-minute service that you have for most funerals. They go on for an hour. So the funeral director in the one in East Lynn where one death occurred was afraid, and the minister brought this out in his sermon. He said the funeral director said, "Well, are you going to put anything?" Because they wanted to open the casket again at the graveside, he said, "Oh, are you going to put anything in it here?" And he said, What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, I heard that you all put serpents in the casket and closed it up and buried the serpents with the body." And he said, "You know, I can't imagine being that cruel to anything." So there are many rumors and many myths that are out about, you know, about the funerals and about the people, which really are not.
How long is a typical service, not a funeral?
It varies with the area. The breakdown that I have between the urban and the rural areas, in Columbus and Cleveland, you're talking about a typical service going from about 7:30 to about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Most of those people had jobs they had to get up the next morning and go to. In the rural areas, they would go longer. 12, 1 o'clock. Sometimes they'd have dinner or, you know, have people up afterwards and cook a big dinner, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm sure you ran into that in some, you know, in the middle of the night. They don't have, most of the churches do not have other types of activities like Sunday school classes or things like this for the children and youth fellowships. So, the whole family goes to the service.
I thought it was real interesting, Ken. Remember when we went down to Webster County and last year, and Ken did a program along with the Augusta staff for teachers on some of these things, including snake handling churches. And some of the teachers said, you know, I never could understand why my kids would come in and say, you know, I couldn't come to school because I went to church yesterday. And they said, you know, what kind of a lame excuse was that? You know, they finally realized what an investment of time and energy it was, and they had more sympathy towards it, changed their way of seeing the children.
Appreciate you asking me out.
Yeah,
thank you very much
for sharing with us.
For the whole universe, it's troubling to find people who are not like us, but it's also, I think, stimulating because it causes us to look more at our own lives and our own beliefs. So thank you very much.
Thank you.